Mrs. Resnick has recused herself from this case, and we're very pleased to have sitting in place of Mrs. Resnick, Judge Dean D'Onofrio, who's a judge of the Court of Appeals in the 7th District. And Justice Douglas will not be participating in oral argument. He's read the briefs, and he will be participating in the decision of the case, which is 97-312, Susan Williamson versus Ameritech Corporation. Mr. Kell.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the Court. My name is Russell Kelm, Columbus. I represent the plaintiffs at the trial level, Susan Williamson and Roger Renzetti, in their age discrimination case against Ameritech. After a split jury decided against them, the trial court awarded Ameritech $1,900 in deductible transfer costs. Franklin County Court of Appeals, in a split decision, affirmed and certified the case as being in conflict with two decisions of the 8th District Court of Appeals. This court determined that a conflict exists on the issue of whether expenses related to the taking of a deposition are costs within the meaning of Civil Law 54B. This is a surprisingly simple issue on which the Courts of Appeals are completely deadlocked. There are three reasons why the decision below should be reversed. First, allowing only costs provided by statute to be taxed is consistent with this court's decision from the past 100 years. Second, strict statutory construction supports only awarding costs that are allowed by statute, and the lack of legislative authorization should be binding. And third, sound public policy reasons favor not allowing deposition transfer expenses to be taxed as costs.
Counsel?
Yes.
Rather, the trial judge, I very frequently awarded plaintiff counsel these very costs, and plaintiffs generally are the ones least able to bear these costs. Are we sure this is the decision you want?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the problem.
The plaintiff's bar that you largely represent?
Yes. You made some
people. You know, the defendant that you sue can usually afford these costs pretty easy if they lose, but you guys can't.
Judge Strack, you assume that I represent the plaintiff's bar.
Yeah, that's the only case I've seen up here from you.
Yeah, I guess the defense ones I wouldn't want.
But yes, the
answer is yes. I think that awarding these costs in favor of the little guy in litigation is helpful. But the difficulty comes when the rule has to be two-sided. And when you don't award these costs in favor of large corporations, or if you do award them in favor of large corporations, the effect is others. I just tried a case in the Northern District of Ohio that cost about $16,000 under the federal rule, which allows these. And the determination of the federal rule is by statute, where they allow them. And the issue in the federal system is whether they were necessary when the deposition was taken to be taken. And generally, most depositions are necessary to take them, and they allow them. The $16,000 cost awarded against Susan Williamson and Roger Renzetti could lead them into bankruptcy. So an even-handed approach to this rule, although it would reward plaintiffs or at least recompensate plaintiffs in most cases, could also lead to the ruining cases where they didn't claim.
What do you suggest the rule is or should be?
The rule is, and the rule of this court and the Supreme Court is consistently adopted, is that costs are only allowed if they're a matter of statutory allowance, which means that the statute says you can tax the cost, then it's allowable. And it's allowable under Rule 54D in the discretion of the court, which means the court can not allow them in cases where it's inappropriate to do so, and only allow them in certain courts in case. But the rule should be uniformly that costs cannot be allowed unless the statute allows it. And deposition costs just simply aren't allowed to be taxed by statute. The legislature can solve that if it wants to. But I think that's a public policy issue, and it's one that the legislature should decide, not this court. Now, this court, in its prior decision since at least 1907, as far back as I track them, on the allowance of costs, has consistently held that only those costs that are fixed and taxable by statute may be recovered. And in cases where a state escrow official in Franklin County in 1907, state escrow Michael in 1956, and the versus Hannah in 1967, after the civil rules were adopted in 1970, the Ohio version of civil rules adopted virtually verbatim the federal civil rule language of Rule 54D. Now, And this court has consistently since then reaffirmed that principle, that costs are only recoverable if allowed by statute. It did so in Soren in 1976, in Centennial Insurance case in 1982, Ohio's in 1985, May's case in 1991, Skagg in 1991, and Vance in 1992. There's a whole line of unbroken precedents that if you don't have a statutory basis for the amounts of cost, you don't get it. There is one case, Eric versus Singer in 1979, where this court said that taxing deposition costs when the deposition is not used in trial is allowed. So in the one case where deposition costs were really presented to this court, it disallowed them based on use of trial. It didn't touch the statutory issue. There are two cases before this court involving special statutory proceeding where deposition costs have been allowed. In one, there was a 1991 election dispute for Attorney General, and the evidence in that proceeding was presented by deposition, and those costs were allowed to be taxed under the special statutory provisions of Chapter 3515 governing election contests. The only other case in which deposition costs were allowed by this court was in 1985 in Moore versus General Motors. And again, it was a workers' comp case involving special statutory provision allowing the taxing of costs of the deposition of a medical professional, including this court held his expert witness fees. And the court under Chapter 41.3 allowed the taxation of those costs. Never before, ever in its history, has this court allowed deposition transfer costs to be recovered as costs in a case that was not a special statutory proceeding, having its own statute covering the costs. There is no statute in Ohio that generally allows the taxing of deposition transfer costs. In Franklin County, they rely on revised code section 2319.27 as a basis for allowing deposition costs to be recovered. While that statute allows the taxing of witness, service and process fees by the court reporter, it nowhere allows transcript costs to be taxed. The Cuyahoga County Court of Appeals recognized this defect in the legislative scheme in both the Wilsey versus Timor and the Carr versus Loomy decisions in 1993 and 1995. They're certified as being in conflict with this case.
Mr. Capel, did I understand you just say Franklin County does allow it?
Yet they're used. And it does it under this statute, which doesn't say you can tax costs. And frankly, there's an opinion by Cindy Lazarus that says because the statute mentions depositions, that it's a statutory authorization to tax costs. Never discusses what the statute says. And the court, after that decision, blindly follows that decision and says it's a tax. Now, a number of, again, there's a federal statute specific allows taxing. The federal system is different. I don't perceive that on a different board. What's happened as a result of the 1991 decision by the Cuyahoga County Court of Appeals, Jones v. Pearson, is the Court of Appeals decision in this area are all over the place. They are totally unstructured, they're totally confusing, and they're hopelessly confused to the point that this court should affirmatively decide this case one way or the other and do it very clearly so that the Court of Appeals can get some guidance.
Mr. Kelb, is it your contention that 2301.23, which was decided by the Court of Appeals, does not apply because these are not technically transcripts, which would have to be left on file?
I don't know what 2103 is. The statute decided by the Court of Appeals is 2319.27.
Well, they also cite 2301, at least my copy of their opinion cites 2301.23, which says when the compensation for transcripts is taxed as a part of the cost, such transcripts shall remain in the file of the
basic That's the issue that wasn't certified. It was whether transcript process. Now, that's trial transcript, Your Honor.
That's the distinction, I guess.
Right. And that's a very important distinction. Yeah, that's a trial transcript process, and those are recoverable. The issue that we sought to certify that we went down to the 3-3 vote on certification was whether partial transcripts of trial testimony expedited for use in trial and closing arguments were taxable. That's all different.
Yeah.
But trial transcripts are taxable, and I think that's good.
I guess your argument against the conclusion that these depositions were introduced because they were used as impeach to impeach, and the trial court says they were used.
That's what the defendants.
Right, and that's your argument is that there's still no statute to authorize.
Correct.
So the trial court said that.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything because there's no statute to authorize the cost.
And some of the courts of appeals turn on that issue, whether they're used or not. Some just generally allow them to be
the award at its cost.
Yeah.
And it depends on the incentive. Some of our courts of appeals allow the transcript to be taxed as cost of the deposition if it's introduced in evidence, meaning it's read because the witness is in the middle. Others allow it if it's either read or used in cross-examination. There's no clear guidance on whether duty in fact should be a factor, except what kind of use constitutes an analog abuse. And this whole problem arose because of this 1981 Cuyahoga County Court of Appeals case, Jones versus Pearson. And Jones really restructured.
I mean, it's like trial transcripts, but what is the primary of the trial transcripts in yours?
These are deposition transcripts, is the issue before you today, not trial transcripts.
I know, but I'm asking what do you define as trial transcripts?
Prepared by a official court reporter during the course of the trial proceedings.
So a deposition that is actually read. Because the witness is not there, does not qualify for trial transcripts.
I don't believe so, no. Unless the statute allows it to be taxed. Now, the portion of that transcript that is typed by the court reporter and put in the official transcript as it's read into evidence is recoverable as cost. Sure. If a trial transcript, if we take a deposition in Chicago and read it in case of Columbus and read the entire deposition in, the portion, as we read it, the court reporter takes it down. That portion of the trial transcript that includes that deposition is taxed, but not the deposition cost for the recorder.
You say the deposition in Chicago, you say, are not a trial transcript.
Right, unless there is a statute authorizing it, there is none.
Now, we usually don't have a court reporter saying something about it. We have something read. We use what is read as the record.
Right, I think in those circumstances, you could file the transcript cost from the deposition transcript and recover them as a part of the trial transcript. I think that would be a logical construction if it was done that way.
But if you took that same transcript and had a live witness and cross-examined it from that same transcript, that's what you're saying should not be.
Unless there's a statute.
It is part of it.
I didn't write these decisions as long as it may not benefit me and my clients in a lot of cases. I'm just saying for consistency and for sound statutory construction, you have to follow what the legislature does. Unless you want to adopt your own rule. You could amend Civil Rule 54D next year and say the following will be allowed as taxable costs under your powers of supervision, of course. Well, you haven't done that. You defer to the legislature in all prior decisions.
The reading of a deposition for purposes of impeachment, so it does become part of the transcript, does it not? And the court reporter is taking that as well as taking any other testimony.
In that portion that she takes down is recoverable, not the separate deposition transcript taken in a foreign jurisdiction that's used to.
But it's just taxed as cost. That's all you're saying. That all the work of it. Court reporter is taxed as cost.
The transcript,
sure.
The transcript,
right.
It can be taxed because there's a statute. Mm-hmm.
Now, under your reasoning, would a transcript used in a summary judgment proceeding to defend a summary judgment proceeding, would that be part of cost?
Again, Franklin County, a number of courts have said you can recover that. But again, there's no statute. In Franklin County, again, Judge Lazarus, in one of the cases in Franklin County, refers to the statute that's the one I cited before is allowing the taxing, 2319.27, it's allowing the taxing of deposition costs when used as a part of summary judgment. The statute doesn't say that. And if you want the statute to say that, it either has to be done across the street or you by the court. It doesn't say that. It simply doesn't allow the taxing. And although you may think it should, I think you have to uniformly adopt some statute or a rule which says you do, and not just let courts to substitute their version of what should be taxed for what the legislature has said. Now, the Jones versus Pearson case established a two-prong analysis for allowing taxable litigation expenses to be recovered well beyond deposition costs. And courts in Ohio, the courts of appeals in Ohio, went all over for 10 years after that was adopted in 1981. In saying whether deposition and other litigating expenses could be recovered depended on personal use and whether they should be taxed. Franklin County, for one, has repudiated that Jones versus Pearson decision. It said that isn't controlling the offense. Even Cuyahoga County that adopted it in 1993, after the adoption of this court's language in the Vance versus Rhode Island case in 1992, abandoned Jones versus Pearson and now says that no deposition transcript can be recovered unless they're a matter of statute. Now, various forms of deposition transcript costs are now allowed as 7th, 10th, and 11th districts in Ohio, and are not allowed in the 6th, 8th, and 9th districts. All of the decisions written since 1990. That's how confused it is now. The courts of appeals are hopelessly confused and desperately need this court's strong guidance. All that is needed is...
Well, they may not be confused, they just have different opinions about it.
I'm sorry?
I guess they wouldn't admit to being confused, they just have a different opinion about it.
Well, they're confused when they have conflicting opinions, right? They have
that creates a confusion, right?
That creates a confusion. All that is needed is to reaffirm that costs are a matter of statutory allowance and control, and that section 2319.27, by its plain language, does not allow the taxing of deposition transcript costs. That's all you need to decide. This is a matter for the legislature to decide and not for the courts, and the legislature so far does not allow the recovery of these costs. Now, there's two other reasons why that should be adopted by this court as a principle. One is strict statutory construction. Rule 54D and the statute itself, 2319.27, simply in conjunction, don't allow the taxing of deposition costs. And as a matter of strict construction of the statutes and of the rule, neither should be allowed. Second is a sound public policy reason. First, the Open Courts Amendment, Section 16, Article 1 of the Ohio Constitution, favors people being able to litigate fully their claims without the onerous burden of deposition costs. And second, the U.S. Supreme Court in the 1964 decision that we quoted in our brief, Farmer v. Arabian American Oil Company, sets forth that the purpose of the recovery of costs is not to reimburse the winning party for every cost that's incurred. And the problem with awarding costs for every single cost, awarding taxing costs for every single cost, you don't want to discourage bringing in lawsuits by people, consistent with our own Open Courts Amendment. Here, American Corporation admits that they never before had sought the recovery of costs for depositions in the proceeding. They had two employees here who worked 25 and 28 years ago, gave up 6 months' severance pay to file a lawsuit. And they still have to recover $7,000 in costs at the end of the proceeding. I think they did it for retaliatory reasons. They say they did it because they're allowed to recover. In the 27 years that I've practiced in Franklin County and, of course, throughout Ohio, I have never had a losing party seek costs of deposition in a trial proceeding in the police court. Never had it happen until this case.
We're still the only country that doesn't allow costs against the losing party. You know, that's not relevant here, but I'm just curious.
And we're the only party, the only country that really believes in the jury system.
As the excess.
Are those good or bad points? Probably good. Here we have two employees, one oil veteran, who could be choked with $7,000
in the red light, something we need to sum up very quickly.
My issue is, what policy is supported by punishing these plaintiffs? What policy is usually supported by money? The judgment should be reversed. I'd like to reserve a couple minutes for rebuttal.
No, we'll get 30 seconds. Mr. Chauvin, that's right. Chauvin, excuse me, right?
Chauvin. May it please the court, my name is Dave Chauvin, and I represent the FLE in this case, America. The issue is essentially one. There's one issue before the court, essentially this: whether the prevailing party who uses the deposition to cross-examine the witness at trial is entitled to recover the expense of that deposition as far as costs are concerned. Franklin County Court of Appeal affirmed the decision of the trial court that the Ameritech's use of the depositions of six witnesses to cross-examine them at trial justify the recovery of those costs. We ask the court to affirm the decision of the court of appeal. In the case at trial, plaintiffs shortly before trial filed approximately 20 depositions with the court. Regrettably, the plaintiffs did not identify the witnesses that they intended to call at trial, and as a result of that, Ameritech was forced to order the depositions and to have them ready as the case proceeded. As it worked out, there were six witnesses that the plaintiffs called we cross-examined carefully and relied heavily on their deposition testimony to cross-examine.
What is the statutory authority? Since we're dealing with the statute that allows recovery, what language and what statute do you hang your hat on?
Well, Your Honor, we rely
23.19.27, which this court relied upon in the case of indirect elections. In that case, the election proceeding, which you kind of referred to earlier, dealing with the concept of attorney general, and the issue was what costs would be awarded the prevailing party in that case. And the court in that decision referred to section 23.19.27 and said that statute allowed the recovery of costs or depositions that were used.
Where in the statute does it say that?
Well, Your Honor, this court did not specify any particular language.
No, I'm simply asking you to point out in the statute where that is allowed.
Your Honor, I think that if you look at the statute, the language that suggests to me, and I think which the court relies upon, is language where it says that first part of the fees and expenses chargeable for the taking and certifying the deposition by a person who is authorized to do so in this state. Then lower in the further down in the statute, it makes reference to an allowance on the part of the court reporter to hold on to.
Yeah, really, what you're saying is you really have to stretch your imagination to get that out of that statute, don't you?
I think, Your Honor, that the statute does not detail in precise.
It doesn't say in the first sentence that these costs are allowed to be reserved, does it?
No.
You have to read the entire thing in context, and then you have to read in what you want to read in to possibly get to where you want to go.
Your Honor, without characterizing the intent of the reader, I think you have to read
the intent of the legislature. I'm concerned with.
Well, I think, Your Honor, that there are many instances in which the legislature may not speak as precisely or clearly as we all would prefer the legislature to speak. And the court of this is where we have to divine the meaning of a particular statute. And this court, in In Re Election, interpreted that particular statute to give some authority to acting as a cause.
So is it the answer to my question that's not really that clear?
I don't think that it's precise, Your Honor. That's right.
Okay.
Would we have to do something with In Re Election and in Ferguson case if State v. Ferguson, if we hold for the appellant, in your view?
The authority that's in the In Re Election in the other case you cited, Your Honor, is what the Court of Appeals in Franklin County, as well as in Hamilton County, and also in Cuyahoga County, in a recent decision, they all relied on In Re Election in particular as giving them authority, giving the proper the authority to act as cost depositions of property.
Yes, Your Honor. So weren't the depositions used in those cases actually read as trial testimony?
Not in all those cases, Your Honor. There are a number of cases in which the depositions were used in cross-examination. In Grant v. Forgash, it was used to cross-examine. That's a precise, Franklin County decision. There's a case of Truck World versus Fifth Third Bank, which is a Hamilton County case in which it was used to impeach a witness, Your Honor. So the Court of Appeals has not been consistent in ruling whether or not the deposition has to be read because the witness was not present, or whether you can use the deposition to cross-examine the witness, at which you really are reading that testimony in the record.
I haven't had a chance to read State v. Ferguson yet, but cited in your brief. What was the situation there? That's a Supreme Court case.
Your Honor, frankly, I'm not as familiar with that case, so I regret that I cannot discuss it at this point in time. Getting back, you
Your Honor, to the point that you made earlier, what we were discussing earlier, there have been some instances in which the courts have said you must read that deposition if the witness is not present. There are other cases in which when the deposition was used to cross-examine and the witness and the lawyer read part of the challenge to his testimony, that was construed to be reading the deposition of the witness.
Shouldn't cost be something that should be fairly certain to ascertain what cost of the trial would be? And anything done in discovery, I guess, potentially can be used in trial to impeach. But if you take a deposition of a witness that you know you're going to use as trial testimony, at least that's certain. Shouldn't we have some sort of certainty as to the cost?
I think that litigants that enforce would welcome some clarification on this point. The federal rule is easier. You know, going in, that all depositions that are taken essentially are going to be cost against the party that loses the case. I think that the Ohio court, this court, and other courts, as well as the legislature, have not been willing to go that far. It would seem to me that an appropriate position would be that if a deposition is used at trial, either read into the record, or if a deposition is used to cross-examine a witness, then in those instances, those depositions could be passed as a cost in the prevailing party.
Well, to make it clearer, wouldn't it be easy to say no discovery depositions cost or taxes cost, period?
That would be a clarification.
Right.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that it's up to this court. It certainly, whatever the court rules, will be helpful to the litigants, because we will then know so that we won't be out in front of the court again on the issue of substance. And the cases in which they've been in front of the court really have been very minor in the amount of cost that were being involved. So this one is $1,900 involved. In other cases, it's been under $1,000.
Well, the legal principle here is very important.
That's right.
Does the federal rule distinguish between depositions that are taken just to inform the parties give information versus those that are used in trial?
No, Your Honor.
They can all be attacked.
That's correct, Your Honor. And there's a statutory reference for that.
Is that discretionary? Or is it
My experience, Your Honor, I've never had to litigate that particular point, so I can't tell you. In every instance, whether or not a party who has sought those kinds of costs has been awarded those costs. My experience is that federal courts uniformly will award the cost if you can document that the deposition was taken and you document the cost of that deposition. Yes, sir. Justice Sweeney earlier remarked, the difficulty that the parties face with is statutory language. I think that this court, as it did in the in-ray elections, can look at the statute in total and from the complete reading of the statute determine that the legislature did have in mind that deposition costs can be a taxable cost of an action. And therefore, based on that statute, which provides that 2319.27, would allow a trial court to award costs that are used at trial. And we would...
And your definition of used would be what?
Our definition, Your Honor, of used at trial would be a deposition that is introduced because of an absent witness, or one that is used to cross-examine a witness at trial. So, for instance, if the witness makes a statement and you then rely upon the deposition when you approach the witness and say, do you remember that your deposition was taken on such and such a day? If you remember telling me that at that point in time you had to use that deposition to cross-examine the witness, it is then a
part of the record of the court. And in that instance, Your Honor, I think that would be a deposition that would constitute being used in court.
But by using the deposition to ask one question of every witness, you'd make it taxable.
Yep.
You could, Your Honor. But of course, there is a proper limit to that. Am I going to somehow subvert the impression that I'm making on the jury and having a sharp and streamlined cross-examination by introducing, just so I can recover the cost, some question that really has no particular merit or is really not going to advance my cross-examination? Irving Younger, as we all know, would argue you ask the least number of questions need to make your point, and then you sit down. My point, Your Honor, is you may only need to ask one question from a deposition, but it may be the most important question. It may make your case. Should you not then be able to use that, or should you not be able to recover that cost for the use of that deposition when it is essential to your case?
And, counsel, what is the cost that you want to recover? The fee charged by the court reporter down the street, or the one who came to your office? Is that the limit to what you consider the cost of using that deposition in trial? Or are we including travel? Are we including, what all do you want to include in that? What are the costs associated with asking that one impeaching question?
That's a good point, Your Honor, and I think that what it would be is what the lawyers typically understand as being the cost, which is the court reporter's fee for showing up in the transcripted call. That would be it, and that's all we ask for in this particular case. I don't think travel or a witness or the FBI, and I think there was one case in which a party wanted to get the expert fee, and the court didn't allow that in. So that's a separate issue. Whether the court would at some point in time think that that's appropriate to grant the cost for that.
Counsel, along that line, in this case, you said the counsel for the other side filed those 20 people that are filed the deposition. Did you have that right? Now, were those depositions that you took initially or they took?
Your Honor, I can.
I mean, somebody's got to pay the court reporter initially. Then you made a comment about, well, we had more than enough. So are you wanting the cost, if he filed them, now they're available for use? And are you wanting the cost to produce your copy so that you don't have to sit at the courthouse and read the copy and file and rely on that?
No, Your Honor, we're not asking. That. I think that those were facts that were a part of the case and colored some of the decisions that were made. But no, Your Honor, we wouldn't. It doesn't appear that those costs would be allowed under any reading of the statute or any of the other cases. So
if it was his witness that he took, isn't plaintiff already putting the bill for that?
He would be in that case. We're not asking for that, Your Honor, but. If that were an issue, then the only cost that we recover would be actually the transcription cost, whatever it would cost us to get a copy of the deposition.
That's correct.
And that would be it. And we all get the bill.
But a copy is available at the courthouse. A
copy would be available.
So if you're asking to recover the cost of having the convenience of having a copy in your file.
Well, we're not asking for that again, Your Honor, in this case at all. But if that were an issue, we could, of course, go down to the courthouse and make copies of the deposition because you'd have to look at it in advance of the trial. And if you were in federal court, for instance, that would be a cost that you would be able to recover. We're not asking for that, Your Honor, in this particular instance.
Well, actually, there are a lot of briefs before the court that they will let them decide to
That's correct, Your Honor. And that certainly is an issue. Sometimes lawyers will not even ask for.
You put out a read it, but you can't pay with the copy.
Your Honor, I think my time is up unless you have any further questions. I would just like to conclude that for the reasons set forth in our brief and in my argument today, the defendant appellees respectfully request the court to affirm the decision of the court.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kelm, 30 seconds for a vote.
first they asked for the cost of all 20 of the ones that we took out of 10, and they didn't get the trial, but they did ask for it. Now, second, this court in the past has only awarded the deficit because of special proceedings. This is a special proceeding governed by a special statute. Third, the federal courts in awarding costs, it's discretionary.
Counsel, but that, counsel, that's, that distinction about special proceedings is, do you find that in the statute?
There are statutes that say what happens.
Oh, each of those, but the election statute, we know the comp statute does. I mean, 512 appeals. Same thing. I'm sorry. I thought you meant there was something in the 23.
The federal rule is just like Rule 54D that you can award certain costs, including depositions, but it's discretionary.
And that would prevent someone, I would guess, would be a check against someone doing what Justice Sweeney said, you could sort of abusing the cost by reading something from every deposition.
With some judges.
With, well, yeah, hopefully with all judges.
With some, they might be
punitive. Thank you. Yeah. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion, and Marshall will be appearing in court.
All right. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Office of Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.